This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. As always, Steve Smee is joining me.
Yeah, we have a really cool show. March 1st, it's a full moon out there today. Did you guys notice?
What does a full moon mean?
The moon is full.
No, I know, but like, are you superstitious? Like, does it have like...
I don't know. Matt, do you know anything about the superstition? I think the wolves come out or something. They like howl. The vampires come out of them.
No idea.
Something, yeah.
I was analyzing some blood samples at the university today. I really don't like blood, so I'd be a terrible vampire.
It's always the quiet ones.
You know, I'm not quiet.
You're probably one of those guys that like go and steal the blood and drink it because it's good for protein.
That actually happens sometimes. Sometimes we lose blood samples. Like, I don't know how. So
yeah, there's been documentation of people going into hospitals and stealing blood because they want to drink it. So that's happened before.
Okay. So on to our first topic. So I just got back from the CHFA conference in Vancouver. Do you guys know what that is? Matt, have you ever heard of the CHFA?
No, I have no idea what it is.
It's the biggest health and supplement and wellness expo in Canada. Like, there were well over 2,000 booths. So it's like all of the latest supplements, health products, wellness products, fitness products, things like that. So I was kind of depressed because, you know, this is supposed to be this massive health and wellness conference. And I would say 90% of the products there were absolute crap. Like, they were all these like vegan granola bars, vegan protein bars, you know, gluten-free, organic. But if you read the ingredients, the second ingredient on most of these things was like soybean oil or sugar, you know, and these companies would advertise, you know, this like vegan granola bar, you know, is 100% vegan, 100% organic. But you read the ingredient, the first ingredient is oatmeal. Okay, great. The second ingredient is, you know, something like cane sugar or, you know, something like that, like some sort of natural form of sugar. And the third ingredient would be soybean oil. And I'm like, this is garbage. Like, it's great that it's organic, but it's not healthy. And, you know, like a lot of the other things they were sampling were, you know, like gluten-free organic potato chips. Well, they're still potato chips just because they're organic. So I was kind of depressed by the whole conference. What are your guys' thoughts on this? You know, like, I feel like food companies are getting smarter and smarter at tricking people into thinking that processed food is healthy.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised by it, but I mean, I don't see why it would matter, because I know in Canada, one of you guys' biggest industries is actually food. You know, am I wrong on that? I mean, that's like probably top five industry in Canada. It's probably a bigger industry in Canada than it is the United States. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all. I know Matt has an experience in the food industry.
Yeah, and if you're going to somewhere and it's based on health, if it's not a produce section, it's probably not that healthy. To be honest, anything's going to be processed that's not, you know, a fresh food like that. I was actually, so I've been traveling a little bit with my boss the last couple of days, and I do work in the food industry, and I happened to come across this afternoon some tortillas, and the company that makes them is called Flat Out. So it's all over US, Canada, you see it everywhere. And it happened to be the variety they were advertising, that it was a high protein tortilla. So I thought, let me take a look at the ingredients and see what's going on in here, because it's bread. And the only protein sources that were in there were wheat protein isolate, which I've never even heard of being used in anything. And there was soy added to it. The rest of it was just typical bread ingredients, and then a ridiculous amount of just garbage and preservatives. I mean, the label probably had 40 ingredients on it, and this is just meant to be a whole wheat high protein tortilla. But when you actually read the ingredients, it's complete garbage. So I'm not surprised by that. I mean, it is depressing and unfortunate, but like I said, unless you're eating fresh fruits and vegetables and, you know, lean meats, there's not a whole lot out there that is going to be new, that's going to be created, that's going to be healthy for you.
Do you know what another word for wheat protein is, Matt?
Well, see, they also list gluten as a separate ingredient, but I forgot. I really wish I would have taken a note of it. They put a word in front of it to make it sound like it was better for you. Something like essential gluten or a word like that. But I've never seen separately listed wheat protein isolate.
It's the same thing. Wheat protein isolate is the same thing as gluten. Basically, the protein in wheat is gluten. So it's the same thing. The other form of gluten, it might have been maybe like a fermented gluten or something like that. So they'll try to like market it as like a health claim. But no, any wheat protein is gluten.
So, I mean, two things. I mean, I just want to point out. Number one, if we all ate nothing but produce, we would run out of food very rapidly. So, and then the price of produce would be like really, really expensive. Like, I was at the grocery store today, 99 cents a pound for papaya. Can you believe that? How much does a steak cost per pound? I mean, a grass-fed steak, $11 a pound for ground grass-fed beef. For actual steak, filet mignon, which is a really good cut, it's in the 20s. A papaya is 99 cents a pound. Isn't that crazy? And you eat a pound of papaya and you're full. Like, you are more than full because it's so fucking watery, you know? So I mean, that's a perfect example. It's from an economic standpoint. Hey, you know, I hope people continue to eat processed food. Let shit continue to be cheap for me to, you know, to get. And then the other, you know, so it's an economic issue. Number two, you know, you really have to understand that marketing works. So these companies, you got to be like very skeptical about studies that come out that are sponsored by these companies and all this stuff that say, you know, this is healthy, that is healthy. You really need to do your own homework. And with the amount of information at our fingertips today, there really is no excuse for anybody not knowing what is really healthy and what isn't healthy. So it's all right there. It's not like it was when I was growing up and, you know, we had to depend on companies advertising to tell us what was healthy and what was not, because you didn't know back then. Now with the internet, it's all right there. So no excuses, guys. I mean, you can either eat healthy or you can listen to someone else tell you what's healthy. You know, these companies trying to market.
One really cool product, I don't know if you guys have tried this yet, but it was black bean and lentil and chickpea pastas. So the only ingredient in the black bean one was black beans. The only ingredient in the lentil one was red lentils. The only ingredient one in the chickpea one was chickpeas. And it was pasta. So it was pasta made out of beans. And it was like super high in fiber. Like one serving had like 15 grams of fiber and like 15 grams of protein. It was really, really good. I saw that Costco starts carrying it now. So I've been buying that. It's a really good option. You know, if you're a pasta fan, try that. Look for it at Costco. It's basically pasta made out of legumes. Have you guys tried that? It's really good.
I have not.
No, but that's a much better option, you know, than what you're typically going to find. Just quick, I did find the ingredients on that product I was talking about, and the word they use is vital wheat gluten.
So yeah, how is that?
They call it vital.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
And that's the fourth ingredient. Water, whole wheat flour, oat fiber, vital wheat gluten, and then about 30 more ingredients.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Well, they might as well, what's next? Is going to be like wonderful soybean oil or like, I don't know. Okay, so second topic. This is our relationship topic. I got a second date with Sarah tomorrow, so pretty happy about that. I was basically just going to pick her up. I was thinking we'd like go to a grocery store, get groceries, and then just like cook some dinner. And then like when we're done having dinner, I was going to take her to like a coffee shop and grab a coffee and play some pool. What do you guys think about that for a second date? Let's get Steve first, because Steve's the dating expert.
Okay, so this is what you're going to do. I don't have a problem with that date. I don't know, like, where you live and stuff. What else is there? I don't think there's very much to do where you live. I guess, like, knocking over cows or chasing moose is what you guys do up there in Canada. But I think that's a good option. What I would do when you go grocery...
You know what I'm going to do when I pick her up?
You're going to ride the moose there to pick her up?
No. Waiting in my car in the cup holder for her will be an ice cold Canada Dry ginger ale.
That's good.
Dude, it's going to be love at first sight.
Yeah. Make her some moose burgers. So when you go to the grocery store, you lead her. Like, you're going to go and make her follow you around the grocery store. Don't be the leader. Let her be the follower. That's really important. And it works, like, because the girl's going to think, like, oh, my God, this guy's, like, in charge and stuff. So that's a little tip right there. I think it's a good option. Be a little creative with what you cook. Make sure she likes it. There's nothing worse than cooking her something that's, like, disgusting or that she doesn't eat. And then, like, forcing her to eat something that she finds disgusting. So you might want to practice whatever you're going to cook ahead of time. Make sure you don't fuck it up. So,
and I know she's really healthy. And when we went out for dinner the first time, she ordered something vegan. So I was planning on cooking something vegan and making it pretty healthy. I was thinking maybe I'd make like black bean burgers with like lettuce wraps or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's good, because you learn what she liked on a first date. And then now you're applying that to the second date. So that's a really good tip.
And then like for dessert, maybe like some fresh fruit or something like that. Like, keep it pretty simple.
So you're going to eat at your house or her house?
Yeah,
or something?
At my place.
Okay.
Or at her place, one of them. But like, we're going to get groceries and then do some cooking.
So she agreed to that already?
Yeah. Sort of. I told her.
I'm not a particular big fan of going to the person's house on a second date, unless you're just looking for like a hookup or a booty call. I'd wait for like the fourth date.
Well, where else can we do the cooking?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I would wait to do something like that on the fourth day. That's me personally. But if she knows people that you know, and she's assuming, like, she's not, you know, this guy isn't going to, like, hurt me or anything, then it's fine. But if it's just something someone you just met and you don't really know each other, then I think a second date going to someone's house is a little,
dude, the person who introduced us is the person who runs the volunteers at my church. So that's like, that's pretty safe that she knows I'm not just looking for a booty
call. But I mean, for the people listening, if you just met someone like online or something, second, and you want to like build a relationship with the person, inviting the girl over to your house on a second date is pretty much telling her, yeah, we're going to hook up. So, I mean, it's not like, you know what I'm saying? So this particular situation is fine, but a normal situation, I would say no on that.
Well, she doesn't really know what we're doing. I just told her to be ready at 6. I'm going to pick you up and wear a dress. And she was like, okay, copy that.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Hopefully it works. Yeah.
Matt, you're married. What do you think? Do you think this is okay?
Yeah. Do you know offhand if she likes to cook?
Yeah, she loves to cook.
So then maybe you, instead of you cooking for her, maybe you guys do it together.
Yes, that was the plan. It'll be
Then it's a chance for you guys to kind of talk while you're doing it and make it casual and kind of fun instead of her just sitting around while you're cooking. You know, I think that would be a good idea. But no, I have no problem with it. I like it.
Now, alcohol. I was thinking about having wine at my place already. And then once she comes over, asking if she wants a glass. But so like not buying wine with her, but having it already in my condo. Do you think that's smart? Because then it doesn't seem like I'm just trying to get her drunk, but it's like, oh, it's here. Would you like
you know if she drinks?
I don't think she does, but if she does, it's like probably like socially, like a glass of wine.
Yeah. Then I wanna offer it, especially on a second date. Because again, you're telling her, I'm trying to hook up with her. I mean, I don't know, like, it's hard for, I don't know this girl, but like, I'm telling you, like, women are very dating savvy. Like, a girl her age has been on a lot of dates. So, I mean, she's going to think right away, and this has probably happened many times before, she's going to be thinking this guy's just trying to, you know, have sex with me. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm assuming you're not planning on having sex with her, right?
Probably not on a second.
What do you mean probably not? I mean, if you're looking for a relationship, you know, second date is too fast. You're basically going to, she's going to lose trust in you.
So what if she puts the moves on me then? What do I do?
I mean, I don't foresee that happening. I mean, I don't like the idea of having a second date.
Dude, these hips don't lie. I'm going to wear tight pants tomorrow. Don't say you can't see that happening.
No. I'm saying I don't like the idea on a second date of inviting the girl over. Or you going?
Have you seen me in skinny jeans, Steve? It's almost a guarantee.
I don't know. I don't really. I don't know, man. I don't know. But this is like, do you see yourself being in a relationship with someone if you hook up with them on a second date?
No.
Yeah. So I mean, do you want a relationship with her? Or you just want to?
Dude, she wouldn't. Like, if anything, like, it would, like, if it was leading to that, she'd say, like, I want to, but it's too soon. Like I could tell, like, she would shut me down. She wouldn't.
Even if you went through with it, you're going to fuck up the relationship because a woman loses trust in you when that happens. So, I mean, you want to wait at least, like, a month into it. Like, we want to be dating her, like, a month, and then you can have sex with her. But, like, that's too soon right now.
Okay, I'm gonna wear a rape whistle just in case.
I think the kind of the opposite with the whole wine thing. I think it's fine. If grown-ups drink wine, it's a very common thing.
Yeah, Steve. It's not like I got like some like Everclear, and I'm like,
yeah, but you just said that you don't think she drinks. So I'm saying,
like, I don't think she drinks like hard. Like, I mean, like, okay. I think she drinks like socially. I don't think she's like.
Okay, so if you know for sure she drinks socially, then it's fine. But if she might not drink, and you know what I'm saying? So it's like you don't know yet what she likes. Does she like to drink or does she not like to drink? See what I'm saying? So I'm like more of get to know her, see if she likes wine, and maybe have it there. And if she says, you know, hey, yeah, open it up, then you can open it up kind of thing, you know, instead of like forcing it on her.
Well, the first time we went for dinner, she just had water, but I think she was trying to do that just to show like she's just not looking for like free food and things like that. Like she ordered a really cheap meal and just had water. And I was like, you sure? Like you don't want a tea? Like you don't like really like get whatever you want. But I think she was like, she's very like, I don't know what the word is.
I just think if the mere offer of a glass of wine with dinner is enough to make her think you're trying to get in her pants, then she's got serious insecurity issues. I think that would just be somebody being a nice guy. I don't think there's anything wrong with offering a glass of wine with dinner, especially when you're cooking it together and you know, you've kind of already been hanging out a little bit and there's probably, you know, the moods already should be pretty casual by that point.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. But let me tell you something. I once dated this girl and I told her, we went out a few times already. I told her I don't drink. And I was at her place, like it was like her fourth or fifth day, and she offers me a beer. And I was like, to me, it was like, wow, how many guys is this girl dating if she can't even remember that I don't drink? You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of my point, is that like, you got to kind of like.
She's never told me she doesn't drink.
Yeah, so you don't know. She could drink or she couldn't. So it's like, I'm just saying get to know what she likes. That's just an example. I'm not trying to be specific on the wine thing. I'm just saying get to know the person and remember the shit that she tells you. This way you don't look like an idiot down the line and she starts thinking, wow, this guy must be dating like tons of other girls because he can't remember what I like and don't like. So that's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, one more question on this and then let's move into our third topic. First kiss. Now, a lot of people have told me if you don't land a first kiss on the second date, she's going to think that you friend zoned at her. Do you guys think that's true? Do you guys think like you should really try to seal a first kiss on the second date?
Absolutely, dude. You need to fucking nail a second date. You need to nail a kiss on her. Absolutely. But it has to be like the right time. You can't ask her, hey, can I kiss you? You gotta be romantic, you know, and bring the romance out and then like going for the kiss. And it can't be like a peck. It has to be a really, really good kiss. Absolutely, dude. You got to nail it. And if she turns you down, then you know that she's not interested. So that's perfect. So you can just move on and forget it.
Got you. Okay. And then so she kind of like last thing before I drop, like when I drop her off type thing, right?
No, it doesn't have to be last thing. It can be like in the middle of the date. You know, just like, you know, give her a hug.
So it's like, don't burn the burgers. Oh, kiss. Like that?
Not necessarily. Like, I could tell you my girlfriend, we went out for a picnic on our second date, and we were laying there next to each other, and I was kind of getting touchy-feely with her, and she was reacting well to it. So then I kind of just, like, just went in for the kiss. You go in kind of halfway and let her come to you halfway, and then and you give her a kiss. Like, be confident about it and don't be a pussy. If she likes you, she'll kiss you. If she doesn't, she won't. It's that simple.
And then, you know, and then it's like, you don't have to keep wasting time. Okay. So our third question is, our third topic is basically, we had a listener email. He said that he really enjoyed me saying what I ate today, but he said I didn't shut up and didn't let Steve have a chance to say what he ate today. So, Steve, the floor is yours. What did you eat today? It's 8:30 p.m., so it's pretty late. So you can pretty much give us, like, a full day of eating of Steve.
Okay, so let me go through what I ate today, and then I want to hear what Matt ate as well. So in the morning, I had I've been actually, like, intermittent fasting most of this week, but today I didn't. So today I had 3 whole eggs, like medium cooked with sauerkraut. That was what I first ate. Then I had some grapes, some red grapes. And then I ate, after that, I had a guacamole. I made guacamole, fresh guacamole. I had 1 avocado with lettuce, a big thing of lettuce. Then I had an apple after that. And then for dinner, I had some mixed nuts with, just some mixed nuts. And then I had some popcorn. I popped my own popcorn. And then I had half a papaya. So that's pretty much what I ate today. So I didn't, like, it was weird. Like, a lot of people just assume, like, I just eat like chicken and rice for breakfast, you know, chicken rice. Like, everyone just eats that. But, like, I didn't have any meat today, you know, and I didn't really all week have that much meat. So I'm not much of a meat eater anymore. That's pretty much what I ate today. It's very high fat. You'll notice my macros, and now we're going to get into that later on in the topic. But my macros of fat are probably, like, everyone says to do the 40-20-20. I mean, the 40-40-20 macros. Well, my fats are probably like 30 or 40% because I'm eating all the nuts, the avocado, the eggs. So my macros are probably really high with fats versus a normal person. And I've calculated it before, and it does come out to like 35 or even 40%. Of my macros. So, and my protein intake is way lower than what people say. People always say, oh, you need to have this much protein, blah, blah, blah. Well, my protein is way lower. So that's pretty much my diet right now. And every day it's pretty close to that. The only difference would be on half the days I'll intermittent fast. So I won't eat anything. Then I'll work out in the middle of the day. Then I'll eat. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I typically do. So, Matt, I guess, run through what you ate.
Yeah, so I've been doing intermittent fasting for like 2 weeks now. My window is basically 1:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. is when I'm able to eat. And it's been really easy. So today, it's actually a good day to go through it because today's a very non-typical day for me. And this will kind of show you how sometimes you got to make changes or sometimes it gets a little, you know, things have to be adjusted. So like I said, I was, the last 2 days I've been working with my boss, out on the road, and he's about 4 hours away from where I work. So I might see him a couple times a year. So I never know if we're going to end up going out for lunch or things like that. It's kind of, it's up in the air, right? So today we didn't end up going for lunch. So I didn't have anything. He went on his way at around 12. So then I went from there, drove an hour to my gym, and I just did a quick, like a 40-minute workout. I just did shoulders and a little bit of cardio from, you know, like just a little bit after one. I finished up around two. So right after my workout, I went, and that's when I had my first meal, which would be my lunch. That was at around 2:15. And I just had it really quick so I could get back to work, kind of doing my office work. So I did, I just had a can of tuna, and then separately, I just made a salad of a bunch of things mixed together, like just romaine lettuce. And I just threw in some onions, tomatoes, cucumbers, just some different vegetables I had laying around. And instead of dressing today, I used just mustard and hot sauce with my salad. And I put a little bit of tuna in because I knew my dinner wasn't going to be as flexible with being able to have calories. So that's kind of what I had for lunch. About 3 hours later, around 5:30 was dinner. And I was lucky enough today that we had family games night at school. So everybody had to go to school today, and they had a bunch of games set up in the gym, the library, and a couple of the classrooms for, you know, the families and the kids to play. And part of it was to raise money. It was a fundraiser for the school. Pizza and a bottle of water for $2. So that's what everybody had for dinner. So my dinner today was a piece of pizza and a bottle of water. And after that was done, got home, and I ended up just having a snack around 7, and I just grabbed an apple. And the only reason I had an apple is because I have a huge bag of them, and it's been sitting there for like a week. So I need to eat them. So I decided that's what I was going to have. So that was my day today.
And this is why I am the only person on this podcast who doesn't have a dad bod. Pizza for dinner. Nice, Matt.
Hey, that's life. That's reality, buddy. Reality.
Did you have some high gluten tortilla chips for dessert?
No, I did not. I didn't buy those.
Saving those for tomorrow. Smart man. Smart man. Steve, do you have anything else to add?
No. So, I mean, what do you think? Are you surprised by, I know like you're upset at Matt for at his food today, but are you surprised about what I eat today?
No, it's kind of what I was expecting. Like, I was expecting it to be unconventional, but unprocessed healthy foods. You're kind of eating like a health nut, not really like a bodybuilder. But that's kind of what I was expecting, because your goals have changed. You're not really into like mass now. You're more into like feeling good and health and vitality.
Yeah, I mean, the nuts are kind of like my guilty pleasure. You know, if I cut out the nuts, I'd cut down a lot more. I'm 8% right now. So, I mean, if I would just get rid of the nuts, I would cut down quite a bit more. But I don't know, man. I just feel like a more high fat macro, you know, makes more sense for some reason. I just feel like it helps my body a lot more. I don't know. It's weird, but I've experimented with different things. So,
well, it depends on your lifestyle, right? Like for me, I can do very high carbs because I'm very, very active. But I mean, you're not that active, right? You have a desk job. Like you still work out every day, but besides that, you're sitting on your butt. So a higher fat, lower carb approach makes a lot of sense for you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I used to be heavy carb, like pastas and lots of rice and stuff like that, sweet potatoes, but I was running every day. I mean, I was running 40 miles a week, 30, 40 miles. So it was different. But now, no, I'm sedentary. I mean, I work 10 hour a day on the computer. So it's different. So yeah, that's a good point.
I just filmed a cooking video for my YouTube channel. I should send you it. It was a sweet potato and spinach breakfast scramble. So what I did is I took a sweet potato and I grated it with a cheese grater. And then I cooked that in coconut oil. So it was like hash browns and it got like really, really crispy. And then I added in a pack of frozen spinach and some fresh chives. Chives are another word for green onions. And I let that all cook. And then I cracked in 3 organic free-range eggs. And I turned off the heat. And then I just put the lid on the pan and just let it sit. And then the heat from the pan poached the eggs. It was really, really good. I'll send you the link. It's kind of like poached eggs with sweet potato hash browns. It was really, really good. Our next listener question is, he wants to know what we all worked out today. So I'll go first. Right now I'm doing a legs push pull split. So legs push pull off. First I do legs push pull in a strength phase. So like low reps, longer rest periods, focusing on lifting as much weight as possible. And then I do the 3 workouts in hypertrophy phase, focusing on getting a really good pump. So today I did legs hypertrophy. So it was very high volume, very high rep, very short rest periods, about 90 minutes, but I was gassed after that because it was like a solid 90 minutes, lots of supersets. Steve and then Matt, what did you guys work out today?
Okay, so I didn't go to the gym today. My body's just so fucking broken down. Like, it's almost like I have to force myself not to go to the gym. As much as I want to go, I can't. So my workouts these days are very fucking intense. I have very, very intense workouts. And that means that it's hard for me to do back-to-back days at the gym, but I'll sometimes do that. But when I do, it kind of overdoes my body. So yesterday I did legs. I started out with lunges, lots of fucking lunges with like 20, 30 pounds in each hand going around the gym in a circle. Oh my God, does that shit like make your glutes sore? And the lunges were knees to the ground. So I was going knees to the ground. Then I did front squats. The squat rack was hogged up. I went around 5 o'clock, and that's rush hour for the gym. So of course you had some young guy playing on his phone, doing squats. I didn't feel like going and talking to him and asking him if I could jump in. I didn't feel like dealing with this shit. So I just simply grabbed a 45 pound weight, hugged it, and did high rep squats right in front of the mirror right there. And then I did leg extensions. Then I did my calves and then the front lower legs as well. So hamstrings, calves, then stretching. I always end my workouts with about 15 minutes to 20 minutes of stretching, doing various like yoga poses. That really helps my flexibility. So that was my workout yesterday. Matt, how about you?
Yeah, like I said, I did a really short workout today. Today was my shoulders day. So the way that I kind of do it, right now I'm doing chest and triceps together. I'll do back and biceps together. Legs has its own day and shoulders has its own day. The reason I separate shoulders is 2 reasons. One, it's always been my weakest point, so I really like to pay attention to it. And 2, I also like to pay attention to it because of injury. Like, I have some soreness that's been there forever now in my left shoulder. And I feel like sometimes, like when I do my chest workouts at the beginning, it'll be a little sore, but then it feels great, which I know doesn't make sense. So I feel like if I train shoulders, say on a chest day, I'd probably push through where I shouldn't. So those are the reasons I do it kind of on its own right now. So it was quick. I started off, I just did some, and my first exercise, I do a ton of sets because I really warm up slow. So I basically just did dumbbell press. Then I went to upright rows, lateral raises, and rear delt flies. Then I did 20 minutes of just cardio on the treadmill since I was there. And that was it. It took me probably 40 minutes, 45 minutes. I go really quick. I probably do 30 to 40 seconds rest periods right now. I'm just trying to hammer through and, you know, not waste a lot of time and get it done. So that was today.
All right. Our next topic is we had a listener question on our thoughts on oral-only steroid cycles. Steve, I know this is a topic that you wanted to tackle, so I'll let you go first, and then I will chime in, and then Matt can chime in.
Well, I mean, my position on this is I would much rather inject myself once or twice a week than have to take fucking orals once or twice a day. I mean, that's just me. Number two, orals, typically, you're not going to be able to run them for long periods of times, but injectables, you can run them longer. So for me, injectables are way easier. They're not liver toxic. Most orals are typically liver toxic. And, you know, but some people can't inject. Some people can't have needles around the house, or they're scared to inject or whatever. So they want to know, you know, can I run an oral only cycle? And to me, I don't have a problem with it. I know tons of guys. I know guys who've been using steroids for 15, 20 years who have just ran 4 to 6 week oral only cycles, cycle on, cycle off, cycle on, cycle off. Anadrol, Anavar, T-Bol, you know, D-Bol, they've run all these orals. And then back in the day, pro hormones when they were sold over the counter. And, you know, they've made tremendous gains over the years. So there's no reason why you can't make gains on an oral-only cycle, but it's just very less convenient. And if you really want to take shit to the next level, you know, and use something like Tren, you know, you're going to have to inject. Or EQ, you're going to have to inject. So, I mean, to take it to the next level, you're going to have to inject one day. But if you're not worried about that, you can. There's no reason why you can't have tremendous results just running Anadrol, for example, at 25 milligrams a day for 4 weeks. You'll have tremendous results. There's no reason why. So I don't buy into the whole you can't run an oral-only cycle that some people like to parrot on forums. It's just not true.
I agree with everything Steve said. I don't have an issue with oral only cycles. The only thing I don't like about them is orals, most of them are liver toxic, and generally most orals are really, really hard on your hairline, you know, especially things like Winstrol. I just think for most people's goals, you know, like health, longevity, putting on some size, you know, I just think injectables are a better option. You know, they don't affect your liver. They're less side effects. But yeah, I mean, hormones are hormones, steroids are steroids, whether you're using an injection or an oral or even a cream. I mean, it's all just different ways to get the hormone in your body. So, I mean, oral only cycles, they do work. I personally feel like you'll have more keepable gains if you stack the oral with the testosterone base, but oral only cycles work. I don't know why people say they don't work. That makes no sense at all. Matt, your thoughts?
I think it's kind of one of those things, the way it's been talked about has transformed into you can't do it or they're useless. I think the argument is when you're comparing the two, when you're comparing an injectable cycle to an oral only cycle, obviously for most people and most people's goals, the injectable cycle is going to be much better as far as what you're going to get out of it, what you're going to keep, the side effects, everything. It's going to be superior in every aspect. So I think when somebody brings up an oral-only cycle, everybody's go-to is, well, you just need to run the injectable because it's better. And this is kind of that discussion we've had multiple times about, you know, what's optimal? You know, is it optimal to run an oral-only cycle? No, it's not optimal when it's compared to an injectable cycle, but it's fine if that's what you want to do, you know. You're only going to be able to run it, say, 4 to 8 weeks in that range. So you're not going to make as many gains. You're not going to keep as many. But, you know, for some people, it's a really good way to get their feet wet into how they're going to respond to hormones, you know, if they're not ready to inject and, you know, all the other reasons why they can't or won't. I think it's a good way to get, you know, started if you're ready to do it. And it's fine. Just don't expect, like, you have to have your expectations in the right place.
Okay, now our last question is a listener question. Hope you guys are ready. This is a long email. Question is, if I'm going to try raising my fat intake to gain... Oh, sorry. There's even more. I'm eating at my maintenance level calories with protein at 200 grams per day. Carbs are about 220 grams per day and fats are at 40 grams per day. I have found that higher carb and protein levels than these start to get the spillover effect for me and I gain weight. Question is, if I'm going to try raising my fat intake to gain weight, bracket lean muscle, is there a good target percent to shoot for and what food sources would you suggest? I know percentages are just averages, but it gives me a good starting point. And I would solely set my fat intake 200 calories a week to monitor results. Also, my current food sources are eggs, oatmeal, Ezekiel bread, cantaloupe, honeydew, rice, turkey, chicken, sweet potatoes, mixed veggies and salad, and coconut oil for cooking. I hope this is not a tool question, and I apologize for the length of the email. I just wanted to include as much detail as possible. Thanks, as always, for the great show and info, Chris. Okay, so Chris, first of all, great question. Just looking at your diet choices, I don't see any fish. So the first suggestion I would have is I would substitute a lean protein source like turkey or chicken for a fatty wild-caught fish like wild salmon. You could do sardines. You could do mackerel. Just make sure it's wild-caught. That will bump up your omega-3 intake. That'll improve muscle insulin sensitivity. You said that when your carbs go over 220 grams per day, you start to gain body fat. So I'm guessing you don't have the best muscle insulin sensitivity. So increasing your omega-3s would be a really good option. Another thing you could look into are things like flax seeds, chia seeds, flax oil, things like that. Looking at your fat sources currently, you also don't have any monounsaturated fats. Monounsaturated fats are really good for just overall health, skin health, and also raising testosterone levels. So I would add in something like macadamia nuts, avocado, something like that. You can get macadamia nut oil. You can get avocado oil. Those would be my suggestions for you. Steve, you are loving your fat. Oh, I got one more thing. Another thing that you can try are cacao nibs. So cacao is an unprocessed form of cocoa. So the cacao nib is basically unsweetened chocolate. It's really, really good. It's full of healthy fats. It's full of antioxidants. You basically get all the health benefits of chocolate, but without any of the sugar or fat added. So if you like chocolate, if you like the taste of chocolate, look into cacao nibs. They're nice to snack on. They're like almonds. Like there's something you can snack on. I've been eating a lot of those lately. So Steve and then Matt, what would be your recommendations?
Yeah, just make sure on the nibs that you're looking at the ingredients, because a lot of the nibs they sell in the supermarket like actually contain sugar. So make sure it's like you check the ingredients. But I like that suggestion, Trevor. I would tell them to swap out the Ezekiel bread for more fats like the avocado, because I know the way this guy eats is kind of the way I used to eat too back when I was more bigger and stronger. You see what I'm saying? So I'm definitely eating more fats now. And that's kind of, you know, so yeah, I mean the bread, the Ezekiel bread, I really don't see it benefiting you unless you're trying to purposely bulk, but it's bread is inflammatory. And just because it's Ezekiel bread, yeah, it's got grains in it or whatnot, but it's still not an optimal choice. It's still processed, you know, so swap that out for the avocado, for the nuts. That will up your fat intake, because his diet doesn't sound like his diet sounds like the standard, you know, 40-40-20 type of thing. So maybe bump up the fats a little higher to 25%, try that and see how you react to it. But it's all about trial and error. And I don't know exactly what this guy's goals are. So, I mean, did he say what his goals are? Is he, like, trying to get strength? He's trying to get mass? Is he trying to cut? What is recomping?
He said he's trying to gain lean mass. So, basically, keep his body fat levels where they are but increase muscle.
Yeah, I mean, we all want that. So, I mean, it's going to boil down to, in the end, you know, don't just focus on the macros. of what you're eating. You got to focus on the total calorie intake. Like my macros, yeah, it's high fat, but I'm in a calorie deficit for the most part throughout the week. I might hit a calorie maintenance, you know, some days. Like today, I may have hit my calorie maintenance because I started eating in the morning. I was intermittent fasting. If I had intermittent fasted today and skipped everything I ate before noon, I would have been in a deficit, even with those nuts, which are very calorie dense, that I had for dinner. So, Matt, what do you think?
Matt's going to be like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He needs to eat more pizza for dinner and more high-gluten tortilla chips.
No, I think something's not right. I don't think it adds up, because based on what he's telling us, he's only eating 2,040 calories per day. So how could he possibly gain fat, you know, by just shuffling macros when he's only eating just over 2,000 calories, assuming he does some type of exercise? There's got to be something else to it. So I think maybe there's more to the diet that's not there. But I think the general concept of lowering the carbs for his goal, I think, is a great idea, because I see it. It takes time. You know, like, I know how I'm going to respond and how I'm going to look based on what I eat. And I know if I eat a lot of carbs, it's going to be terrible for me. And that's changed a lot over the last probably 5 years. So I think he's probably starting to understand himself a lot more, which is great. So keep the carbs lower and increase the fats. Some of the ideas that were already given are great, you know, like fatty fish, avocado, those are great options to throw in there. And that's only going to help, you know, with the carbs that you do eat. So just play around with it, but maybe track everything, you know, and be sure you know exactly.
Matt, he said he's on 2,400 calories a day. And, you know, for an average person who has a desk job and only works out about 60, 90 minutes a day, I'd say that's pretty dead on for maintaining your body weight. He said he's not gaining or losing weight and he's on 2,400 calories a day.
See, my math was off then. I had him at just around 2,000. But no, 24, yeah, that would make more sense.
Well, he said his protein's at 220, carbs are at 220, and fats are at 40. So just adding that all up, that's pretty much exactly 2,400.
Well, I mean, the bread, Ezekiel bread, it depends. If he's having like 2-3 slices of that, that's a few hundred calories right there. That shit has a lot of calories.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's counting it into his total, he's probably having just a slice with breakfast, maybe two.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's probably right. Yeah, but that's probably what Matt meant.
Oh, you're agreeing with me. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, how much is in a slice of Ezekiel bread? I used to eat that. I know that shit has a lot of calories. I used to eat that back when I was bigger.
Most dense breads like that have about 120 per slice, around that.
So I mean, I'd have 2-3 slices with eggs like every day. So I know that shit will definitely put on the weight.
It adds up really quick. This is another really good episode. Do you guys have any closing remarks before I close up the show?
Yeah, man, just keep us updated on your date. Definitely don't be creepy. And
don't be creepy.
Just let it flow. I mean, and just, you know, have a good time, man. And don't like force shit. If you have chemistry and it's a good match, it's great. If not, you know, there's plenty of women in the sea.
Last, if it goes horrible, there's always Matt's sister.
What do you mean?
That was a joke. I don't even know if Matt has a sister.
No, I don't. I have a younger brother.
I was like, what? You can always just get a cat if it doesn't work out. Just get a cat.
Good advice. That'll be my saving grace. I'll go adopt a kitten. I'll be like Steve. It's been another episode of Evolutionary Radio for your host, Trevor Caritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, and for my second co-host, Matt, who's known on the evolutionary.org and elitefitness.com forums as Masonic Bodybuilder. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening.